5953.
Mondays and Fridays, we are very appreciative to have Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka. Mike is in Chicago. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
I'm great. Johnny in Houston, Texas. Johnny!
Home of the Houston Astros, CBJ.
Who are 40 and a half games out of first place.
I think we just beat the Cubs, too. Oh, dear.
Okay. I just talked to Dinesh D'Souza, who put together the movie 2016 Obama's America. I asked him about Romney and Obama in this election.
Don't have a prediction about it. What I'm really doing in the film, and I also have a book out called Obama's America, is lay out chapter and verse of what America would look like in, you know, in taxes, in energy, in the Middle East, in nuclear weapons. Ultimately, what will happen to the American dream if Obama's given a second term?
And I thought it was an amazing documentary, Johnny and Mike, and I thought Dinesh D'Souza laid it out. And listen, if I'd have had the mentors the president had, I might very well believe what the president does, Johnny.
Well, that's who taught you, who you respect. That's your role models, and that's what shapes us. And, you know, he's got just a different global view completely, and I think he doesn't really appreciate I think that we're the good guys is the bottom line. I think he does appreciate America. I don't think he understands. Mike, I don't think he realizes that there's a lot of evil out there that's a lot worse than we are. And a good example is Egypt. Mubarak, not the best guy, but holy cow, there's worse.
Well, you know, I don't know that I watched the whole show with Dinesh D'Souza, and I thought it was absolutely incredible, and he spilled everything out. I think this, when you don't know what you're doing, you do a lot of different things, and you listen to a lot of different people. Here's a man with no direction, this president, and no leadership, none. Now, he's making comments about this, that, our nuclear arsenal. What's happening in the Middle East right now is a direct result of him. You know, you can't be nice to people who aren't nice. It doesn't work that way. Doesn't he get it? I mean, Ronald Reagan proved that. You rule with an iron fist. I mean, you rule with power. And we're giving hundreds of millions of dollars to these countries, and they're turning around and doing what they're doing. And we don't have the intelligence to stop all aid immediately. And we say, well, it's not everybody. We hear that. Well, then, when you get this thing under control, you get your country under control, and you run it the way it should be run, then fine, we'll come back and help you. Until you do, you help yourself. But is that common sense? Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
All right, here's a congressman from Texas.
I think it sends exactly the wrong message 48 hours after the atrocities in Benghazi and Cairo for the Congress to be approving a bill that doesn't include specific prohibitions against funding to those countries.
Unbelievable, Johnny. We're talking billions of dollars. Should that end?
Well, they just don't have any will or any ability to deal with things like that at this point in our government. And, you know, we talk about Barack Obama because that's the election, but, Mike, our leadership is in a shambles.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We have a lot of politicians who have a BS and BS, and that's really bad. I mean, we don't have people who have a vision for America or do not like the vision that our forefathers had for America, including this president. And therefore, they're trying to change things. This class thing is incredible. You know, I remember growing up as a kid and all through World War One. Even though I was a small kid, I remember, you know, hey, this was the feeling of an all for one in America, not because this guy was black or white or pink or purple or he had money or he didn't. It was all about America. It was about what's best for America. And now we have some individuals telling us what's best for America who don't know, who've never really experienced any of that.
Well, I think you also have the American dream, which you hear that a lot, but that's simply an opportunity.
That's exactly right, John.
And what that is, though, Mike, is to sky's the limit. That's the American dream.
Absolutely.
And we take that for granted, but so many people on this earth don't have that sky's the limit opportunity. And I think it's been fantastic. Look at the results. So we don't want to give that up. And I'm afraid that's the kind of thing you risk, Stevie, when when we do some of the things we're doing and head in the directions that we're heading and the class warfare and that kind of thing, we'll spread the wealth, like Mike says. Who's going to spread it?
Well,
so
I
think
I just want to quote that last, that ultimately you cannot do for people what they could or should do for themselves.
Exactly.
And that was Abe Lincoln. Guys, I mean, I spoke yesterday to a group, and I really started the whole thing with that. And, I mean, it floored them, because this was 1861. It's probably the greatest lesson in common sense that we'll ever get, that you can't help the poor, but take pull them down the rich. I mean, you go on and on and on, and he was trying to eliminate exactly what this president is trying to create.
Well, now, what I'm confused about, though, is as having spent time overseas myself, Johnny, we both have, usually you kiss the ground when you get back to America. Why wouldn't this president have that kind of an appreciation for that opportunity?
I think he does, actually, but I don't think he understands the positives. I think he just doesn't see that we're the good guys for some reason. We're a good nation, but let the other nations lead their own, use their resources, build their countries. It's not going to happen. Mike, it's interesting that the United States of America and the influence that we have had, if you take that away, it doesn't necessarily mean that somebody better than us is going to come and help and advise. And that's what we're seeing in the Middle East, for example. You've got a situation where you have to stand up to protect. For us to have more global justice, which we all want, everybody has to be good people. And Stevie, I'm afraid that's not the case. And if you diminish our influence, I believe we'll have less global justice, because I believe that we're still the good guys, Mike.
Yeah, we are. I mean, and you're right. I mean, there's a lot of rhetoric. There's very little leadership. And that's disturbing to me because, I mean, you know, listen, this is the leader of the greatest country in the free world. And, you know, if you're going to waver on this and waver on that, and you're going to listen to this guy and listen to that guy, somewhere, I mean, I understand you got to listen to advisors. But, man, if I don't know something, if I'm a coach and I don't know defense, I'm going to hire myself the best defensive guy I can find. That might be Buddy Ryan. It might be anybody else. But I'm going to do that. You have to do that. You can't do everything, so you have to have not yes men, not people who agree with you. You have to have people who tell you the facts. And then this is what he doesn't do. He doesn't surround himself with fact tellers.
You think it's a bunch of yes people?
I really do. I really, really do. And I think, and you look at the people who's pointing to these positions, of course, they're getting in these positions. Why? Because they're capable, they're knowledgeable, not in every case, because they're his friends.
Well, and my critique has been that when things aren't going well, I don't see a lot of changing. I don't see a lot of adjusting or tweaking. You can run the same defense, but if they're running right over you, Stevie J,
well,
you're going to lose.
Yeah, well, when things aren't going well, guys, we know one thing. The one thing that's a constant in this administration, they're going to blame the former administration. We know that is a constant.
That
administration is going to continue throughout history to blame a former administration. It's not our fault. We didn't know how bad the crisis was. I mean, how many times can you say that? I mean, how many times can you say that? You're talking about the President of the United States of America coming into office. You don't know how bad it was? Hello? You told the whole world how bad it was.
Well, and it doesn't matter either,
yeah,
because now you've got to do something and make a positive change.
But you can't do anything if you don't have any leadership skills, John.
Well, that's unfortunate.
All right, Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, you're on ESPN Radio 93.5, 95.3. It's 7:44. Okay, last night I said some nights you have a good Jay and some nights you have a bad Jay. Jay Cutler didn't look very good last night against the Green Bay Packers, Mike.
Well, you know, I said earlier, I talked to somebody, I said, you know, nobody's ever going to question the fact that he can throw the football with most people in football. I mean, I'm talking about the Rodgers, Breeze, the guys like that. His decision-making was horrible. I mean, and here's what happens to Jay Cutler. When he gets under pressure, which he was under a lot of pressure last night, no question about it, you start trying to do too much, and you can't do too much. You got to do what you can do. I thought they got away from the running game a little bit too quick. They weren't behind by that many points. I mean, the final score was 23-10. So it wasn't like that the other team was piling up a bunch of points. But, you know, you got to have some consistency to what you're doing. And if throwing the football isn't working, then you better take pressure off the quarterback by doing something else. And I'm not blaming the offensive coordinator or anybody. I'm just saying that he tried to do too much. And you saw the interceptions. He was just trying to make a play that really wasn't there.
Well, the other thing, though, the other side of the coin, you go into Green Bay, they're 0-1, and it's Thursday night, and this is kind of their kind of season early on as far as how they're going to start out. So you caught them at a bad time. So I think Green Bay had their backs up against the wall early this season, and they needed to step out and beat a good team. So Green Bay has a good football team, too, Stevie. Mm-hmm. But
And I think one thing you guys got to remember, and I got to remember, and I mentioned it to some people on the air last night. Who did the Bears beat in the first game?
Yeah, Indianapolis.
And you got to understand how bad are they defense. They got rid of their whole football team, guys. I hate to say this, but maybe what we saw is kind of it's a misconception of who the Bears really are. And unless they play better, smarter football on offense, they won't be much better, because I thought their defense played pretty daggone good against, I think, as good offensers in football.
Well, 23 points isn't bad.
Yeah, that's
Eric.
Not bad at all. Right. For a team that averaged like 38 last year.
Exactly.
All right, what about my Saints, Johnny?
Well, we're struggling, Mike. That's head coach thing. You know, the other part
what
about
happened,
interim coaches.
You know, guys, I mean, defensively, it's not the same football team. I mean, I can say, you know, you can talk about the Bonnie Gate. A lot of things probably hurt. I thought when you looked at the football game, I thought Breeze was under a tremendous amount of pressure. I really did.
He was.
I thought if it would have been anybody else at quarterback but Drew Breeze, it would have been a disaster. I mean, he played... I thought he played outstanding football in the most adverse conditions. I mean, he was under constant pressure to make plays, and they didn't let him make a whole lot of plays.
But, you know, Mike, too, and you can tell me this, but, because I don't know, but our interim, we have an interim, but he's also suspended, Stevie, so we've got an interim, but he's our offensive line coach, Mike, and he stands there now as the interim head coach looking away. Can that affect that? Because he's not with the guys. Last year we kept Bree safe, and Sunday he was just getting pressure, and our offensive line coach isn't there. He's there, but he's just kind of standing on the sidelines.
I agree with you 100%, John. And, you know, I heard all these critics and all these experts and all these analysts say, well, the head coach doesn't matter. Well, Sean Payton does matter. It does matter, believe me. And if you don't think it does, you're crazy.
Well, I'd
and
like
that's
to
why you have a head coach. That's why you have a defensive coordinator and an offensive coordinator and a line coach and a quarterback. They matter because that's what they concentrate on. When you have a line coach who's out of his environment, now he's operating the whole football team, you got a major problem.
Right.
Now,
hey,
right.
Stevie, how would you like to take – what would the percentage of people would believe that having – Mike Ditka, head coach of the Bears, mattered in 1985.
Yeah, right. No, it mattered all right. Yeah, it mattered a lot. I think best game of the NFL weekend is Detroit at San Francisco, Mike.
Well, I think the best team in the National Football League are the San Francisco 49ers. And why? Because they play old-fashioned football. They'll come in and they'll punch you in the nose. They'll run around you. They'll run over you. They'll run behind you. They impose their will on the opposition. I laughed when I watched them get into that big jumbo formation the other day against the Packers. They had 11 Giants out there, and they pointed like, over here is where we're going to run it, and they ran it there. I mean, that's the way he is. I mean, you guys got to understand Harbaugh, and you don't become that kind of a football team until you finally decide that you can impose your will on the other team.
I'm just impressed with their defense, too, because it's hard to have a good defense in the NFL.
Well, with special teams, John, defense, I mean, and listen, you know, you can knock this quarterback all you want to, but all he does is do the right thing. He's pretty good.
Yeah,
he's always played good against us.
Well, who's going to beat the 49ers, Mike?
I think somebody. I mean, it's too early. I mean, you don't want to get caught up in that. I mean, it's too early. But I just think that I look at him, you know, and this will be interesting this week with them and Detroit matching up with the matchup between Harbaugh and Schwartz. But I'm telling you, you know, I don't get excited about football teams like that. Now, I'll tell you another team that's changed my mind about them. If you watch New England Patriots, they have come out with a physical sense. They can run the football now. This is a different New England Patriot team, too. I like football teams that are balanced, that don't come out and throw it 56 times. I think you got a problem when you throw it 56 times. I really do. I'm sorry. That means you're in a catch-up mode, and I think that's a little bit of what happened to the Saints.
Could be. That could be. And where is that San Francisco game?
It's in San Francisco.
Okay. And then Monday Night Football just got more interesting because Peyton Manning's in Atlanta. That ought to be a dandy. Denver and Atlanta.
I have, listen, you know, whatever you want to say about Peyton Manning, he's the real deal. But I'm telling you what, this young kid down there, Ryan, is the real deal, too.
Yeah. And Atlanta.
Be a good one. I'll tell you what, you know, we say, you know, football doesn't matter, but it does matter because you can't believe how many, you hear people talking about it, their lives revolve around, there's a game Sunday, there's a game Thursday, there's a game Saturday. I mean, it's pretty good. It's pretty good for the American public right now to get their mind off some of this other stuff.
All right, finally, I wanted to ask you guys one last thing regarding early voting in Florida. And, Johnny, I know this has been a sticking point for you. You've been concerned about fraud and other things. The courts have held up Florida's attempt to narrow the window to 4 days, now 8 days of early voting. I don't understand why there's any early voting. Why won't we used to just have Tuesday, the election day? Why must we expand it?
Well, I don't think we should. I really don't. I think that there's an argument there that, okay, some people just can't get there. Let's give everybody a chance to vote. The Constitution actually does use the word day, pick a day to vote. And I just think it's hard enough to monitor and quality control the election process, and I worry about the quality of the integrity of the system, because it's possible it opens the door, there's more time for maybe some hanky-panky. I've always felt there was a lot more of that than maybe we hear about.
Why is it undemocratic? I mean, if you ask somebody to show an ID if they want to vote, what's the matter with that? I mean, I'm sorry, am I missing something? I mean, doesn't everybody have some type of ID of some type?
The other thing, too, Mike, they do. But as far as early voting, too, Steve, we have absentee voting, which basically you can fill out a form.
Well, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm an absentee voter in the state of Florida, yes.
Yeah, and that's easier to control, Steve. So if you can't vote, you can vote absentee. I don't like the early voting because it opens the doors for weeks And who's watching all of that? It's very, very important.
Do you think that it's truly done in the back of their minds, I've got to deliver X number of votes? Do you think that there's fraud in the mind, or they truly believe, let's open this up and really make this an opportunity for everybody, make it accessible? We want everybody to vote that can vote and all of that. Or do they do this with the mindset of, you know what, if we have more of these earlies, it's easier to cheat?
Well, I think most people are buying in to give them a chance, but I think there are some, the ones that are cheating, want to do it because it's easier to cheat.
Absolutely.
All right, guys, it's not much more time. We got less than 2 months to the election. Any feeling as to, I mean, obviously contentious, it's been that way. What's going to happen? I mean, November 6th is a big day.
Well, you better go down and light some candles and bake a couple of novenas, because if it doesn't change, 2016 will be a reality.
Well, and I'll tell you, Steve, it's just going to be close. I think that if Barack Obama earns a second term, it'll be because the Republicans forfeited the concentration of urban votes, and particularly the black community, who they don't really ask that constituency for their vote. It is completely, basically abandoned. They're getting 90 to 100%. The Democratic candidate will get 90 to 100% of the vote. And even now, some of the black leaders are saying, I'm not going to vote for Barack Obama. They're not going to vote. They're not going to go vote for Romney. They don't perceive that as a choice. Big strategical error, Mike. If you take the 90% left and you're winning 49 to 41, Steve, which is a rout, and you get 100% of that last 10%, you just lost 51 to 49.
Yeah.
And that's not a real sentiment. The Republicans could get a lot of minority vote, whether it's Hispanic or black, but I think particularly in the black community, the Republicans, Mike, I'm going back 20, 30 years, they just chose not to ever pursue that part of the vote, and I think it's coming home to roost. And other than that tremendous concentration of people for Obama, I think Romney would win. But then now I think it's going to be extremely close.
Now it's still coming down to those swing states, I would suspect. Hey, guys, we'll leave it there. We'll call you Monday. Mike, we'll watch you on ESPN all weekend. Always a pleasure. Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny, thank you, guys.
All right, thanks, Mike. Thanks, Stevie.
Talk to you soon. He did not say stop.